Study this morning is going to be centered in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, but it's going to be somewhat topical. We're going to look at a general idea of lawlessness, and for us to be hopeful in the midst of lawlessness around us. You know, when Jesus himself was speaking in Matthew 24 about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, one of the things he said in his long treatise, you could say, in Matthew 24, in verse 12, he says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. An interesting statement, because it seems that as lawlessness increases in a society, in a societal setting, it affects people's willingness or ability to love. There seems to be a correlation, a connection there, Matthew 24, verse 12. It's an interesting verse that you might want to look at and ponder over on your own and think about, because he says that at a time when there would be great trouble coming upon the nation of Israel, especially because of their, of course, rejection of him and the coming judgment that Titus, the Roman general, would bring against the city and upon the temple. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy. He says, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Notice, if he uses it lawfully. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Imagine for a moment if we lived in a world where only self-controlled, self-disciplined people lived. Wouldn't that be a nice world to live in? If everyone in our world were self-controlled and self-disciplined, if everyone was, then you would have much less need to pass laws, you would have much less needs for police, armies, things like that. Why do armies exist? Why do police forces exist? Why do laws have to be passed sometimes by legislatures? Because not everyone is self-controlled, not everyone is self-disciplined, and it requires some kind of control mechanism to keep society stable and quiet and tranquil and able to function in a good way. I want us to think about that as we proceed through our little study this morning. Times when lawlessness seems to take the spotlight. And I think we have seen those times in the past. It's kind of like it bubbles up to the surface and then it goes back down and becomes calm, and then it bubbles up to the surface and goes back down. And I do think that we are living right now in a time of some lawlessness that we see especially because we have the ability now to have media and be able to see what goes on around the world instantaneously. You know, that's just the way of our media now. Those things take place, and you get the feeling that there is a rebelliousness, a lawlessness that is in the spotlight somewhat. The words to Timothy that Paul writes are important. They help us to understand a part of human nature. Some want peace and stability and tranquility, but some do not want peace and tranquility and stability. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. In two basic points, I want to talk a little bit about troublesome times as Paul saw them, as Jesus saw them, as Paul saw them, and as we witness those kinds of things around us. And also I want to give hope of how to deal with, how to live in the midst of times of trouble, of lawlessness. He talks about lawless and disobedient, ungodly and sinners, unholy and profane. And actually the word murderers there actually would be more accurately described as smiters, smiters of fathers and mothers. That is, it may involve murder, but it's more of a negative kind of violence toward parents. You know, the fundamental unit of society is the family. That's the first fundamental unit of all societies going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And when that is stable, it produces good fruit, and when it's unstable, it doesn't. He talks about this problem of lawlessness, and lawless there has the idea of transgressors. Transgressors want to cross out of territory that they should remain in, and they want to cross into territory that they should not be in. He talks about unruly or disobedient, and that has the idea of people who won't come into subjection. They will not accept laws from God and want to subject themselves to laws from God. They have an approach that is that I will make my own rules. I will do things as I want to do them because my rule or my law is the only thing that I recognize as authority in my life. Now, where does this kind of approach start? May I suggest that if we go all the way back to Genesis and we see Satan, also called the devil, he plays a part. His desire is to trouble, to cause disruption, to cause chaos, to cause anarchy. Now, the words Satan and devil means accuser, hater, adversary. He is an opposing spirit. Now, he is more than just a demon. He is the demon of all demons. He is the devil. He is the supreme example of evil in a spiritual realm. But it manifests itself sometimes on earth in physical history. When it says accuser, I mean slanderer. He slandered God to man in Genesis chapter 3, and he slandered man to God in the book of Job. Let me read real quickly here. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, which God had not said. He just said, you shall not eat of it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And what he's doing is contradicting God. He's speaking against God there. He is slandering God. He's saying that God is not truthful and you can do what you wish to do. He divides. Satan has the desire to divide people, peoples. That is what his desire is to do. In the book of Job, let me share with you a couple of things in the book of Job where Satan slanders man to God. We just read from Genesis 3 where basically Satan is slandering God to man, and now he does the reverse. There was a day when the sons of man, sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Then Satan answered, the Lord said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. How was it that Satan was slandering man to God? What he's saying is, Job will serve you as long as you bless him. As long as you surround him with blessings and put a fence of protection around him and give him all these wonderful things, he'll serve you. But you take those things away from him and he'll stop serving you. He'll stop being faithful to you. Because, and Satan's slander about God is, he says, you are not worthy of being served unless someone is being blessed. You follow the thought process here. He is slandering. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I get a kick out of that because Job had remained faithful, and he's saying again a second time, he says, have you considered my servant Job? And that might have been a little bit of a jab into Satan, like he stayed faithful, didn't he? Well, for there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, he will curse you to your face. So he's saying, everything's been taken from Job, and he's still faithful to God. But strike him with bad health, and then he'll turn against you. He is slandering man to God and God to man. That's what Satan does. That's what his specialty is. Wherever those who want stability and law and order are, you will find those who accuse and hate and oppose and stir up trouble. The lawless accuses the law abiders. The hater charges non-haters. So, let me give you a couple more references here to what the devil has done. I'm spending time on this to show that the origin of problems of lawlessness go right back to the evil spirit we call Satan or the devil. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil wanted to cause Jesus to stumble. In Matthew 13, verse 39, it says, the devil takes away the understanding of the Word of God when it is put into the hearts of people. Some people, they have the Word there, but then they will not understand it because Satan somehow, in some way, removes that understanding. In Ephesians 4, verse 27, Paul says to the Ephesian church, don't give place to the devil, and he's saying that in the context of anger. He's telling the Christians at Ephesus to be careful about anger, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give the devil a place. Because if we give in to anger, it will cause us to do that. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, he talks about standing against the wiles of the devil in the context of the armor of God, wearing the armor of God in Ephesians 6. So, what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is when darkness tries to overthrow the divine government. Sin is essentially rejection of law or the will of God and substituting our own self-will. Let me read now from 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 and following. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You remember I talked about the fact, this is not talking about someone who's walking in the light, striving not to sin. This is the practice of sin. That is, it is the habit. It's the constant day-to-day practice of sin. It's not isolated acts of sin. It is the habit of the life of sin. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he, speaking of Christ, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So sin here is the practice, the habit, it's the course of life. And he says the person who is living that way is living in a lawless way that is not pleasing to God. Now, John in the same very same letter, in 1 John chapter 1, he talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And he says if we say we have no sin, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So the idea here is that sin is lawlessness. It's rooted ultimately back to Satan or the devil. And a person can take on this lawless approach to life from a wrong approach to authority. Those who refuse to come into subjection are in great peril. Subjection to what? Subjection to the will of God, what God has set up. I want to read from Romans 13. Every person, Romans 13 verse 1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it, that is, this authority, it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So what does law do? Law, in a general sense, if we talk about the general sense of law, it has the ability and the point to point out the shortcomings and the flaws of mankind. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. There he's talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. So the law reveals our failures, and it forces us to turn to our only hope, and that is God. He can save. Now that's a brief overview of the idea of the problems of times, troublesome times, and the lawlessness. We could talk more about it. There's more that could be said about it, but I just wanted to leave those thoughts with you concerning our first point. Now, what about the solid foundation? The solid foundation. There's a sign that's pasted all over the high school in Powhatan that says, keep calm and carry on. Which is a good simple motto, isn't it? Keep calm and carry on. What we want to do is have calmness in our soul as we live in the midst of troublesome times. I want to read here quickly from a famous poem written by Rudyard Kipling. I heard this when I was a young kid, and it always impressed me. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read a portion at the top. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. And there's more to it, but I want to close with his final line with those thoughts in mind. He said, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. If, that's the title of the poem, if. And it has a lot of wisdom in there, and I think it's wisdom that was gained from Scripture. I think he was acquainted with what the Bible had to say. Number two, solid foundation. Hope Keep your hope up because God is in control and he knows all. God is never asleep. He never gets tired. He never falls asleep. He never misses anything that goes on. If he has the very hairs of our head numbered, if he knows when a sparrow falls, then he knows exactly everything that's going on. And he knows the motives behind it. In Psalm chapter 29, verse 10, it says this, "The Lord sits upon the flood, yea, the Lord sits king forever." If ever there was a time of chaos on the earth, imagine the time of the flood. Imagine the time of the flood. You would have thought, things are out of control. God doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know how to handle this situation. But Psalm 29, verse 10 says, "The Lord sits upon the flood, yea, the Lord sits king forever." In other words, even during the flood, where the entire world was destroyed, God was sitting in his position of authority and power and wisdom and goodness and love. He knew exactly what he was doing. The Beatitude says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children or the sons of God." In the midst of chaos and anarchy and lawlessness, may we be peacemakers. Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Thirdly, humble yourself before God. Humble ourselves before God. Repent of our own sins. Obey God and encourage others to turn from their sins. We want to remind people that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have. Not one of us is exempt. We all are. And so many want to say, well, they did this or they did that. We are all guilty before God, and we need his forgiveness and grace and blessings through Jesus. James chapter 4 and verse 7, James says this, "Resist the devil and he will," what? "Flee from you." When you resist the devil, he runs away from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Number 4, to have a solid foundation, to keep calm and carry on, God and our Lord Jesus gives the victory. I want to read one of my favorite sections of Scripture in all of the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, 9 through 12. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, both he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." That's Revelation 12, 9 through 12. And then I want to read from Psalm 119, and I read from this a couple of weeks ago, but it's worth looking at again. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly." "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's Psalm 119, verses 1 through 11. In other words, his word the Word of God enables us to be lifted up and strengthened and helped at those times when we need a solid foundation. Another verse I want to share with you, God is our refuge. Reverence Him. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Doesn't it seem at times like with all of the lawlessness that the mountains are slipping into the sea, everything's falling apart, everything's crumbling? In God's sight, it really isn't. He has control over everything, and He will continue to rule. So we can remember our God. He is a refuge. And then another thing we can do is to pray for order, that we and others may be saved. Peace, stability, tranquility, and quiet. You know, we started this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Let me share with you a few verses later in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2. And it says this, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We want that because souls can be saved in that kind of calm environment. And then Psalm verse 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. That's the lawless idea. In other words, don't constrain us. Don't hold us down. We want to tear all this stuff up and we want to do things our way. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. That's Psalm 2, 1 through 4. There is coming a day, my dear brothers and sisters, when every knee shall bow before Jesus. Every knee. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, it says this, verses 8 and following, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day when Jesus returns, where every person who has ever lived from the beginning of time will bow the knee to Jesus and confess Him as Lord. Even those who are lawless in this life, and they will see who was Lord all along. So, there is hope when lawlessness surrounds. Face the reality of what lawlessness is, where it comes from. Understand it, and understand the hope that we have of conquering and surviving and prospering in the midst of lawlessness. If you need to become a Christian and want to be baptized into Christ, we can assist you. Would you come now while we stand and sing?